Yes. Yes. Yeah. Yeah, God keep our land glorious and free. It's still in our national anthem. Maybe if they take that out, then maybe we're really hopeless. But the fact is, as long as it's in there, God keep our land glorious and free. So, Sean, if you could put up that one there. So just a bit of a background, as I showed you the walls. And I just want to give a little bit of history of the book of Nehemiah. The walls around Nehemiah. Reg, can you just come up for a sec? Someone says I always use props. Well, I do. Just take that for a sec. Okay, I'm just trying to think. So that's how thick they were. 8 feet thick, okay? Or for the younger generation, 2.5 meters. It was, I'm like Keith, got to keep taking my glasses off so I can read. 12 meters high or roughly 40 feet high. So that's the walls. And it was 2.5 miles around the city. That's basically the dimension. So what happens is Nehemiah is in exile. He's in Persia. Someone brings the report to him as about the condition of his beloved city, Jerusalem, that the walls have been all torn down, the gates have been burnt. And so he gets permission from the king. Now, he was the king's cupbearer, and he was the guy that he drank the wine and he ate the food first, just in case someone had tried to poison the king or kill the king, he would do it. So he became a very close and trusted friend, and that's why when he asked the king for permission to come rebuild. So when you look at that, I mean, that's a mess, isn't it? And so the whole city walls are like that. He needs a miracle. And God says to you, are the walls of your life torn down like that? Are there things in your life? Are you backed against the wall? That little ditty came to me. Humpty Dumpty sat on the wall. Humpty Dumpty had a great fall. All the king's horses and all the king's men could not put Humpty Dumpty back together again. You could be here today. Your health is broken. Your mind is broken. Your spirit is broken. The walls of your life, relationships are broken. But Jesus wants to put them back together. Just like Nehemiah needed a miracle, if you need a miracle, do you still believe that God is a God of miracles? I do. I really do, that he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And if you need a miracle in your life, then perhaps is the day that you'll receive that miracle. God wants to encourage his kids today. He loves you. He loves you with a passion. And if we're honest with ourselves, even as God's children, and reiterating what I just said, sometimes it's a wall of prayer. Sometimes it's a wall of personal Bible study. Sometimes it's just that close relationship with Jesus that has left you. You know, church can become an obstacle in your walk with God. It really can. You can get so caught up in ministering to others, or so get caught up in church, that you lose that intimate relationship with Jesus. So instead of ministering to God, you're ministering for God. Remember what he said to Martha? You're careful and troubled about many, many things, but Mary had chosen that good part, and she just simply wanted to wait at the feet of Jesus. Our primary ministry should always be to the Lord. that thought came to me or that song came to me. If that's where you're at today, Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true, with thanksgiving I'll be a living sanctuary for you. Let's sing it again. Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true, with thanksgiving I'll be a living sanctuary for. John, could you put that scripture up there, that Nehemiah chapter 2? So he goes and he examines the walls. And then it says in Nehemiah chapter 2, beginning at verse 18, I also told them about the gracious hand of my God upon me and what the king had said to me. They replied, let us start rebuilding. So they began the good work, but when Sanballat, the Horonite, Tobiah the Ammonite official, and Geshem the Arab heard about it, they mocked and ridiculed us. What is this you are doing? They asked. Are you rebelling against the king? I answered them by saying, the God of heaven will give us success. We, his servants, will start rebuilding. But as for you, you have no share in Jerusalem or any claim or historic right to it. God will give us success. Red said that when he was that song about the fact that he that has begun a good work in us will finish it until the day of Jesus Christ. That's the hope that we have as God's children. Sure, we may not be what we'd like to be, but thank God we're not what we used to be. God is at work. God is at work in us, and he's in work in us as a church. Like I said, Pastor Keith wanted me to simply share on individually, and you know where you're at individually. I can't judge. You know yourself where you are in your faith walk. But your walk with the Lord is going to take time and it's going to take discipline. That daily walk of taking up your cross, denying yourself, taking time to be holy, only you can determine how close a walk that you want with the Lord. Remember Peter, James, and John? The inner circle, as it were? And yet John, the beloved who leaned on Jesus' breast, the one who was called John the Beloved, and someone said the reason why he was called the Beloved because he was always telling Jesus how much he loved him. And so Jesus would turn to him and say, John, I love you too. And that's the kind of relationship that God wants us to have with him, that personal relationship. It's a love relationship. It says, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. It doesn't say work for your salvation with fear and trembling. It's a free gift, isn't it? A chicken and a pig were standing outside a restaurant. And they saw this guy eating ham and eggs. So they started arguing as to who would make the greatest sacrifice in order for this man to enjoy his breakfast. So the chicken said, you know all of the exercise that I have to go through to lay those eggs, the squirming and grunting and And the pig said to him, "You're right. You really do. You have to go through a lot. But for me, it would be total commitment." You see, church life, and I'm talking about church. Church life is commitment to a vision or a dream that God has given those entrusted with leadership. Chapter 3 explains all the different families that were involved in rebuilding the different city gates and walls. And I don't know how to emphasize this any more than I can. You are family. You're my family. And you're closer to me than my own flesh and blood family, really, because my baby sister, there's 20 years between us, and she's a pastor's wife up in Ontario, so only her and I can connect about spiritual things, but the rest of my brothers and sisters, they're not Christians. They've not given their life to Christ. They don't understand spiritual things. So you are my family. And so chapter 3 explains all the different families that were involved in rebuilding the different city gates and walls. You are the family of God, bought with the precious blood of Jesus. You are sons and daughters of the Most High God, and that you have value, and you're a very important part of this church. No matter how young or old you are. I've asked Liz to come up and read Romans chapter 12, verse 3 to 9. And I want to get as many people involved in this message today because I'm sold on body ministry. I mean, we all have a part to play. Go ahead, Liz.
Okay, I'm going to read from Romans.
And that's not going to be up there. That's still good.
No, that's okay. Fine. I have it. So I'm reading from Romans chapter 12, starting from verse 3, and it says, "And because of God's gracious gift to me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you should. Instead, be modest in your thinking and judge yourself according to the amount of faith that God has given you. We have many parts in the one body, and all these parts have different functions. In the same way, though we are many, we are one body in union with Christ, and we are all joined to each other as different parts of one body. So we are to use our different gifts in accordance with the grace that God has given us. If our gift is to speak God's message, we should do it according to the faith that we have. If it is to serve, we should serve. If it is to teach, we should teach. If it is to encourage others, we should do so. Whoever shares with others should do it generously, and whoever has authority should work hard. Whoever shows kindness to others should do it cheerfully." And that was up to verse 8.
And then read verse 9 as well.
Okay. Do you want me to go further to 9?
Just verse 9, yeah.
Okay. And verse 9 goes on to say, "Love must be completely sincere. Hate what is evil and hold on to what is good."
Thanks, Liz.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And Kenny, I've asked Kenny to read it. Thank you. I've asked Kenny to read a verse of Scripture as well.
Reading is some of the first book of Corinthians, chapter 12. Yes, the body has many different parts, not just one part. If the foot says, "I am not part of the body because I'm not a hand," that does not make it any less part of the body. If the ears say, "I am not part of the body because I am not an eye," would that make it any less part of the body? If the whole body were an eye, how would you hear? Or if your whole body were an ear, how would you smell anything?
Thanks, Ken. Amen. Amen. I've got a little finger. As you can see, it's all bent and twisted. It happened during when I was playing basketball, and it never healed properly. But I'm not going to cut that finger off just because it's all twisted. It still is a part of my body. And the least of the brethren has an important part of this body. You see, just like Nehemiah stationed families on the wall, God has placed each and every one of us here at Mosaic. Everyone has a gift, a talent, an ability, a personality given by God, and He wants you to use your gifts to bless your brothers and sisters in Christ. Maybe it's just a hug. Some of you are good huggers. But you don't know when someone comes through the door that this church, what kind of a week they've had. And sometimes all that hug was needed to reassure them that they are loved, that they are loved by God and they are loved by you. Being the arms of Jesus to a hurting saint, maybe that's just a little finger, but that's just as valuable as a man who preaches or teaches, or, and I think Pastor Greet will agree with that. A card sent at the right time, a phone call. Pastor Wozni used to have a ministry called ESTN, Encourage Someone Today Network. That's all it takes. You just don't know. And I know sometimes you think, well, I'm not the pastor, or I'm not a Sunday school teacher, or I'm not up there leading worship. Well, you may not be, but you're just as important if you're sending out cards or making phone calls or sending out emails or whatever. See, what I found often, the greatest gift of the body of Christ is simply your willingness to be used no matter what it is you're doing. And that's all that God is looking for. Are you willing? Like George Jeffrey preached talking to Moses, what's that in your hand? And with that stick, he led 2 million people or so out of bondage in Egypt. So what's that in your hand? I reiterate that question. What you have, maybe that nobody else has within this body. See, even if it's just praying, we need watchmen on the wall. And there are people who are here aren't here today because they can't be here because of immobility issues. Yet, if their ministry is at home praying for your pastor and praying for this church, then that role is important. And one, you see, it's easy to criticize. Loose lips sink ships, as someone says. And here's something you may know or may not already know. Your pastor walks around with a bullseye on his back. Yeah. And the devil is just ready to shoot at it. So God don't need any saints shooting at him. Now, preachers usually have two or three main points that they want to get across to the congregation. So what do you think God is saying today to His children? Point one, I don't know if I'm a 1 point, 2 point, 3 point preacher, I really don't know, but a few points that I think the Holy Spirit wants to get across. First, you are passionately and unconditionally loved by God. There is nothing you can do to earn it. It's a free gift. And if you get a chance, look up in the dictionary what free means. Because often, it's like often when we give gifts to our kids, what's attached to this? What's behind it, right? It's free. Salvation is a free gift. We haven't earned it. We don't deserve it. All God wants us to say is thank you for it. right? And part of that is that God has no favorites here. He doesn't love Pastor Keith any more than he loves Sean in the sound room, or he doesn't love Reg any more than he loves Jeanette sitting over at the table. We have to understand that we are family. That there are no superstars here. God has no favorite. Everyone is precious in his sight, of extreme value. God does not make junk. You've heard that one before. But we're all at different stages or levels of growth in our Christian walk. And you mentioned that in a sense. So us older Christians have the responsibility to take care of the younger Christians so that they too get to that place where they are leading. That's what it's in a natural family. You have your older brothers and sisters, they take care of the younger brothers and sisters. So first point is that you're precious, you're special, you're the apple of his eye. You may not feel like it at times. You may feel like I did this week, like dirt, but just the kind of week I had. It started off great, and as the week started to go along, it got progressively worse. And if I had gone by how I felt, I wouldn't be here today. But we walk by faith and not by sight. So point two is a question. Why is the local church necessary? What value does it serve? What value does Mosaic, which we know is only a name for Revenue Canada purposes anyway. Why do we get together on Wednesdays and Sundays and ever how often we meet? There are believers meeting all over the world today, some in beautiful stone edifices, some in tar paper shacks, some under a tree in Africa somewhere where they don't have a building, some in China or in an underground hideaway somewhere. So the church really is not a building, is it? It's not. It's not these words. You and I are the church. We are the church. God's blood-washed saints. See, someone has said that God wants to use the local church to bless the world. He has entrusted us with the message of reconciling man and God back together again. And often he uses the local church to bring people in and make disciples. Most often in a church setting. When you read the book of Nehemiah, like I've already mentioned, it's a book of ongoing struggle to build a wall with daily opposition and ridicule from their enemies. But the miracle of it was this seemingly impossible task. Now, I showed you the walls, 8 feet thick, 40 feet high. This amazing, or this seemingly impossible task, was completed in 52 days. Phenomenal. Why was it done? How was it done? The scripture said it was done because the people had a mind to work. The people had a mind to set all of their personal preferences aside and said, let's get this job done. They got behind the work. They put their hand to the plow, as it were, and they never looked back, and they never looked to the left, or they never looked to the right. And everybody knew their place on the wall. Do you know your place in the body of Christ at Mosaic? Liz mentioned some of the gifts that were there. I know there are many other gifts that may not be listed or that were not quoted. We all have a gift. We all have a talent. We all have abilities. Driving people to church is a gift. Driving people home after church is a gift. Anything that seemingly may not be visible is a gift, is a talent, as long as it's being used to minister to the body of Christ. And so God says thank you to everyone who is helping here. But I think he wants us to send out the Macedonian call, come and help us. Because the fields are still white to harvest and the laborers are few. We need workers. In order for the wall, in order for this work to continue and to continue to grow, we need workers. Sean, is Nehemiah chapter 4, 13, 14 up there? So I placed armed guards behind the lowest parts of the wall in the exposed areas. I stationed the people to stand guard by families armed with swords and spears and bows. For everybody who got a bulletin, you can see that on the front of your bulletin. Has any of you ever seen a war movie? Does any of you watch war movies? You've seen war movies? One of the things you'll see in a war movie is a war room. It's usually that room that's set aside where you see men and women working together, trying to plot or outplot, outguess the enemy's strategies. See, the church is a war room. I don't know if you realize that or not. But things happen in spiritual realms when we get together. You might come in here, you might be depressed, you might be oppressed, you might be suppressed, whatever. But I'd be awful surprised after praise and worship, you're still the same. Why? We're not fighting flesh and blood. We're fighting principalities. We're fighting powers. We're fighting spiritual wickedness in high places. And so the church is the place that God has set aside where we can come together and do battle and do warfare. To fight that enemy out there that has been harassing us and haranguing us and buffeting us and giving us trouble all week and tripping us up and getting in our face or whatever. So are you fighting for your brothers and sisters in Christ? Can you put that picture up there, Sean, of them on the wall again? So you see them. What happens was you've got those folks up there with spears, you've got them with arrows and bows and arrows. That's what prayer is. Prayer is warfare. Pulling down strongholds, arguments, things that fight against us. And so just as they were plotting to outguess or outsmart the enemy, that's what the church is for. Pray one for another, the Bible says, so that you might be healed. Every time, I can almost guarantee it, that every time we come together as a church, corporately, things happen. Sometimes God's presence is a lot more maybe rich in our services, but whether we feel him or not, the Holy Spirit is still here. This is a box, as you can see. In it are the names so far of unsaved family members. And if you want to put your unsaved family member in there, and remember when Joshua said to Rahab, if you tie a scarlet cord down the wall of the city of Jericho, that when we go around and God has given us victory, when we see that scarlet cord, then you and your family will be saved. Amen? Acts 16:31, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ in your household. And so, and this is personal. As much as I believe in reaching people outside of this building and outside of Mosaic, my priority is your unsaved family members. To me, this is my Jerusalem. It begins here first. It begins with us really getting behind and getting supporting brothers and sisters in Christ who have family members who are not serving the Lord, and praying for them and seeking God on their behalf. Then out there is my Judea. Cuba maybe is my Samaria. The uttermost parts of the earth might be where Liz's mom is in Zimbabwe and has that work over there, and Rotem. And, but you understand, that's where it begins. The Bible says, in your Jerusalem, your Judea, your Samaria, and even to the uttermost parts of the earth. And I'll leave that up to you where you think your Jerusalem is. And so God wants to encourage his people today. He really does. You are precious in his sight. And he loves you with a passion, and I love you with a passion. And I want to do everything I can to serve the body of Christ as long as God wants me here. Who will ever let me wash their feet? Who will ever let me serve them? Who will ever let me disciple them? And I pray that's the attitude that we have corporately towards each other. Song, Sean, is there a song there that I'd ask? Perhaps we could all stand and sing this before Liz comes.
Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. You may be seated.